Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Welcome today. We're here to celebrate our risen Savior. He is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Very good. In 1 Peter 1:3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We're privileged to have that living hope because of his resurrection. You know, Christ's resurrection is why we worship on the first day of the week. And it's why we've come today and gathered to worship him.
I love that text. He's begotten us again into a living hope. It's because we're Easter people. Easter is supposed to be our lifestyle, not just a holiday that we celebrate. And so every day should be a little bit of resurrection day for us. We'll have a word of prayer together. How would that be? Father, we raise and we set and we move and we live. And everything we do, we do in your presence. You said you would never leave us or forsake us because you have a purpose in and through our life. Help us now to meet that purpose today, to find the reality of the resurrection as an experience and as a lifestyle, not just a holiday that we celebrate. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, over the years, there have been many theories as to try to explain away the miracle of the resurrection. Some people say, like the soldiers who were told to say that the disciples had come and stolen the body, that the body was not resurrected. But of course, Jesus showed himself alive to over 500 people before his ascension. Others have said that, well, Jesus didn't actually die. You know, he just kind of swooned, fainted away. And then the coolness of the tomb, there he kind of revived. But anyone who knows anything about crucifixion and these burial practices that they had back then know that that theory just couldn't possibly be true. With all the spices that they put on, he couldn't get up without 100-pound weight of spices on him. And the fact that they sealed the grave, that proves nobody could have stolen the body away. I think they shot themselves in the foot doing that, because that just proved that he did rise again. So it's true, he rose. He did die. He lay in the grave, but it's true that he arose. Every other religion points to a man who used to live, but whose followers must admit he's dead now. They have no hope, but our hope is in Jesus Christ, who was dead, but is alive forevermore. Amen. He died for us because of his love for us, and so we can stand in that love. He rose again because of his power over death, and we can stand in that power. We've all heard of the cross referred to as the old rugged cross, right? You know that song. But there's another name for the cross. It's called the Endless Mercy Tree. We'd like to sing for you the Mercy Tree.
On a hill called Calvary stands an mercy tree. Every broken, weary soul, find your rest and be made whole. Stripes of blood that stain its frame, shed to wash away our shame. From the scars pure love released, salvation by the mercy tree.
In the sky between queen to thieves, hung the blameless Prince of Peace. Bruised and battered, scarred and scorned, sacred hands pierced by our thorns.
It is finished, was his cry, the perfect Lamb was crucified. His sacrifice, our victory, our Savior chose the mercy tree. Hope went dark that violent day. The whole earth quaked at love's display. 3 days silent in the ground, this body born for heaven's crown.
On that bright and glorious day, when heaven opened up the grave, he's alive and risen indeed. Oh, praise him for the mercy tree. Praise him for the mercy tree. Death has died, love has won. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus Christ has overcome. He has risen from the dead.
On a hill called Calvary,
couple of more songs like that, we'd be changed and we could go home. I had never heard that song before. That is a glorious message in that song. I thank you so much for bringing it. All right, John chapter 10. Not a usual kind of text that we use on the Lord's Day. I want to talk to you about God's plan for the resurrection. We oftentimes at Easter talk about the fact of the resurrection or the what. Sometimes we talk about the when. But very seldom do we talk about the why. And the why is important because the why is the reason. God has a plan. It's a plan of the ages. It's a plan that didn't come about because something happened and God had to fix it. It's a plan that came about before God made anything, because he knew about your need and he knew about my need. And he wouldn't leave anything to chance. And so he planned the resurrection. Fix the song a little bit. It's true, here in the death of Christ I stand, from Keith Getty, but that's not where we live. We're resurrection people here today in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are to live, and we are to live abundantly. And we are to live freely, and we are to live joyously, and we are to live securely. There is no harm that can come our way. There is nothing that comes and hurts us. There are things that may hurt when we go through them, but they'll never harm us because God has a plan and all these things. You know the verse, right? Work together for good to them that love God, to them that are, here it is, called according to his purpose. And in your life and in my life, God's purpose is resurrection. Resurrection. Not just getting by. Not just going through the motions. Not trying to get better. Being better. Being transformed by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our life. But we need to know how to make it work. And we need to look behind the curtain at the why and the plan of God. John chapter 10 gives us that plan. It doesn't give it to us in a way that we'd expect it to come. He talks in simple terms. He talks about sheepfolds. And he talks about family. And he talks about taking our place in finding what God has planned for you and for me. Let us pray. Father, these are tough words for us to get through, because over the years we have so complicated the issue that we forgot how basically simple and faultless your plan is. Give us ears that hear anew the wondrous story of Jesus and his love, we pray. Amen. Well, we start reading. I want you to notice in John chapter 10, Jesus said, as he explains to them what he said in verses 1 to 6, because they didn't understand, and oftentimes we don't understand either. But now he's going to tell us very clearly what life is about. John 10, verse 7. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door to the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own free volition, of my own will, of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This is the commandment. This is the directive. This is the purpose that I received from my Father. You hear resurrection jump out in that story? I can lay down my life. I can take it back up. I was not murdered. I was not martyred. I laid down my life as a sacrifice for the needs of those that I would call to myself. And when I rose up, I provided the means for them to be raised up with me, not only in the there and after, but in the here and now. And that's why I said, we are resurrection people. We're Easter people. Easter is my lifestyle, not a holiday on my calendar. And we have to take some time this morning and just kind of walk through these texts and think about them, because God's plan is in these texts, verses 7 to 9. If you're taking notes and you want to outline, here it is. Very simple outline. God's plan, verses 7 to 9, is to rescue his people. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd and give my life for the sheep. Which talks about God's plan. The text tells us other places that Jesus was foreordained by God to be our substitute and to pay for you and I the things we couldn't pay for. The wages of sin was death, but the gift of God was eternal life, abundant life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was the plan of God from the beginning. But what we talk about when we talk about the plan is not the completion of the plan. We talk about the means of the plan. The means of the plan is that Jesus would pay the price that you could not pay. The means of the plan is that Jesus would raise from the dead so you could have a new and abundant life here and now, where you would be changed and you would become like him. And then he could receive you to himself and enjoy you, and you could enjoy him forever. So the outline works like this. John 10, 7 to 9, we talk about rescue. John 10, he's come to restore us. That's what John's gospel is about. Jesus restoring us, not then, but now. It ought to be the daily, moment by moment experience that the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and implements it in the heart of the child of God, and we're transformed into the image of the Son of God. Did you follow all that through? Okay. Very simple plan now. God has brought us and rescued us and placed us into his family, where he restores us. And then verse 16, it says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Here it is. The third part of his plan, and the end of it all, is to receive us as adult children, as those who have been remade and raised up to walk in newness of life. You have those three simple words that God gives us to change your life from mundane and ho-hum, lives full of failure and, regret, that's the word, to lives of fulfillment and purpose, in satisfaction, in security, in safety, in peace, in joy, in abundance. And I'm just getting started with that list in case you're wondering. So when I start on something like this, you understand that everything that we can think or imagine, what God had planned, is infinitely bigger and infinitely better than anything. There's a simple thing. So I want to talk a little bit about why the resurrection this morning. What's its purpose? See, the purpose of the resurrection is the means by which God brings us into his family. Not just the cross, but by Christ's death and burial and resurrection, which we picture in baptism, being planted in the likeness of his death, being raised to walk in newness of life. He places us into his family to walk a new life. Oftentimes when we go through these things, we think in terms of a religion which talks about what I do rather than who I am. Because who I am determines what I do. What I do never determines who I am. What I do can't change me. What I do can't fix me. I can alter my behavior by having altered my character. And life is built on character, not on performance. Now, I asked a simple question when we were doing Sunday school this morning. And if you weren't here for Sunday school, you missed my question. So I'll give you my question now. Where did you learn what it was like to be an adult and what sort of things adults did? Where did you learn that? Did you learn that in public school? No. Did you learn that on the playground? No. Where'd you learn that? I grew up in a house with a mom and a dad, and I learned what it meant to be a man because I'm the son of an Owens man, and I look like an Owens man, and I talk like one. The problem with being an Owens man is I learned how to be an Owens man and leave God out of the picture because I thought it was about what I did, not about who I was. And see, the truth is that whenever I leave God out of what I do, no matter how good it is, that's what the Bible calls sin. Adam and Eve left God out of the picture and ate. And they've been leaving God out, and we've been leaving God out. See? Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to fit into the plan that God has. Do all things for the glory of God. To fit into the plan that God has, and you're part of that plan. And what's the plan? Resurrection? Easter? That's the plan. Now I need to talk about the plan this morning. Turn with me, we're in John's Gospel and we're almost there. I'm glad that John records to me the last significant prayer that Jesus makes in John chapter 17. There's some little short words that Jesus uses on the cross. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Not even my God, why have you forsaken me is a prayer. It's not. It's the opening verse to Psalm 22. And if you're Jewish, you don't have chapter and verse markings in your Bible. You've heard me say this before. you have opening verses to scripture passages. So I say things to you like, the Lord is my shepherd. And now you know the rest of the song. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. But see, the way I would get you to recite the psalm back to me is I give you the opening line. How does the Bible start out? In the beginning, God. What's the end of chapter 1? You don't know because you didn't memorize it. But if you were in Jewish school, you'd memorize it. And if you heard in the beginning, God, it just automatically clicked in. Psalm 22 starts off, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then it talks about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. All my bones are out of joint. They cast lots for my garments and divided them among themselves. I thirst and I'm dried out like a desert. I mean, all of those things. And then it says, bind the sacrifice. Oh, what a great thing it says to me. So from the cross, Jesus isn't saying to God, why have you forsaken me? He's saying to the people who crucified him, look at me, I'm Psalm 22. I am God's plan for you. Come to me and let me embrace you. The only one who got it was the thief on the cross and a centurion who crucified him and looked at him and said, truly, that is the Son of God. Because he entered into God's plan. And that's what resurrection is enter into the plan. John 17, I want you to just follow these verses along. I want to read them very, very quickly. We've done it before. If you weren't here, then you'll know where to go look and you can follow along with me. John 17, verse 3. This is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have finished your plan on earth. To glorify God is to finish his plan. God tells you that in the Bible. What is his glory? God dwells in heaven and he does whatever he plans. That's God's glory. So when I glorify him, I fit into the plan that he had and I fulfill my purpose in the plan. And when God's plan gets completed, he gets the glory because he did exactly what he said he was going to do. Follow along and you'll get that. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, help me to fulfill my part by giving me your own self with the glory I had with you before the world was. My job was this. I have manifested your name unto these men which you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and I have kept your word. Now they have known all things whatsoever you have given me are of thee. And I have given them the words which you gave me, and they received them. And they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they believe that you did send me. And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them. All mine are yours. And yours are mine. And I'm glorified when I complete in them what you gave me to do. Resurrection. That's what God gave the Son to do in your life, in my life. The means by which we change is we change families. We go from the fallen family to the risen family. We go from the lost family to the rescued family. We go from the judged family to the forgiven family. And when we take our place in that family, we fulfill God's purpose. And His purpose goes to work in us, and He changes us. Are you following me along, or I, you know, created deer in headlights? Okay? Pretty straightforward program. God's invited me to join His family. When I join His family and take my place in my family, He rubs off on me and I become like Him. I didn't change myself. His love and care and affection and direction changed me, and I became like Him, which solved all the things that were holding me down and holding me back that I couldn't overcome. We'll talk about that some more. Come down with me to verse 20, here in John chapter 17. Remember the words, nope, I'm in 15. Let me get 20, that'll work. There I am, that's the right verse. Neither do I pray for these alone, but them also which shall believe on me through their words. Who are these alone? The disciples, the Jewish people of the first century who believed on Him. I don't pray for them alone, but for those who will believe on me through their name. Who are those people, the ones who believe on me through their testimony? That's you and me. The same purpose I had when I called Israel out is the same purpose I had when I called you and invited you into my family. That's what he says. 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the plan which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in us, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it again, the cross and the resurrection, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. See, the hope of the resurrection is in Jesus Christ. That's where it is. That's God's purpose, and He puts this all together for us. So the resurrection has a plan, but the resurrection also has a purpose. And it's to restore us, and for that, we need an ability that's outside us. And that's what we call the power of God. Yeah, I read these verses. It's interesting to me. Power is not our word energy. Power is our word authority. I now have the deciding, determining decision of whether or not I fit into God's plan or not. He's going to work on me. He's going to keep working on me until I finally decide to fit in where He's planned to put me. But until I decide to fit in there, I hold up the plan. And you hold up the plan. God's plan is to make us new family. God's plan is for me to take my place in his family and spend time with him and let him change me. And for that, I need the power of the resurrection. Did you notice when we were in John 10, when he talked about power? He said, as the Father knows me, and I have been known unto him, I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, and I must bring them, that they may hear my voice. Here's John 17, right? That they may be one fold, and I be one shepherd. Therefore, my Father does love me because I have the authority to lay down my life. No man takes it from me. I have the authority to take it back up again. I have the authority, the decision, to take it back up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. So it talks about a new life that we share, but it's not a new life doing the same old things I always did, because when I got in trouble, I tried to get out of trouble. So I tried to be better, to make up for what I did that was bad, and it never got me out of trouble. I still bore the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. That's called growing up in Dwayne Owens' home, in case you're wondering. You know. But as many of those as I got, it never changed me. Made me cautious, but it didn't change me. But when I spent time with my Father and discovered what he truly wanted, I wanted what he wanted for me. And I went from being a little child to being his son, to becoming his friend. Jesus said, I've called you friends. Why? Because you're not my servants. I don't need you to do things for me. I'm God. I can do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. I choose to invite you to be a part of what I'm doing so that we can enjoy doing it together. And we became friends. And I needed some power to help me do that. You ever notice that John 1 starts off in the beginning, just like Genesis 1 starts off in the beginning? You ever notice that? In the beginning was God, Genesis 1. In the beginning, John chapter 1 was the Word. The Word is the Logos. The Logos is the one that decides. In the beginning, the one who decides everything made everything. That's what it said. And then it goes on from there in John chapter 1. And we get a very significant word for us. All things were made by him. Nothing was made without him. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay? Life and light have to do with what I decide on. What is true. What's important. Jesus decided what was true and what was important when he created things. And then he said, as the Father sent me into the world, so send I you into the world. And so now I've given you my words, and as you learn my words, decide what's important and what's true and choose those things. Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, once you start this, the whole Bible comes alive. See, I've set before you today life and death, consequences, and blessings. Choose life. The light that was set before me. Choose that. Put it in the thing. It's God's purpose. It's what he has to do. And so now you have this development of God calling us to fit into the purpose of God. And the purpose of God is resurrection, which is Philippians chapter 4. All you need is a couple of little notes to remind you what verse you're going to so you don't forget and give you the wrong ones. Philippians chapter 4, where it talks about in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us, that we might receive adoption into the family of God. How do I get there? Philippians 4, 8, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his plan, his sufferings in this case, that I might obtain to the new lifestyle, the resurrection of the dead in my life. That's what he gets us to do. He invites us into his family, and he says, spend time with me. Understand that resurrection was not about Jesus getting out of the tomb. Resurrection was about Jesus getting into your heart. Total ballgame. What was the tomb that kept him locked out? Our sin. Our death. Our waywardness. And then he said, but I'm alive. Every other person that Jesus raised in the Bible already died again. Jairus' daughter died. The widow's son died. Lazarus died. Jesus lives forever. Guess what? When we're in him, we live forever and resurrection happens in us. God's plan is to rescue us. He rescues us by the resurrection. And the power of his resurrection is not in my outer world out here, just that he's going to change my location. The resurrection is in here. That brings me to number two. God's plan is to resurrect your character and my character. When he saved me, when he forgave me, my sins were put away. My nature was changed. I became a child of God. But the problem was my character was still all messed up, still is. Those of you who spend time with me know that. And anybody as nutty and messed up as me. Stop laughing back there because you know it's true. But you see, that's what Jesus came to do, was to change us. And he does it by the resurrection. Let me give you a quick lesson. We'll wrap this up. And are we on tap for tonight? We aren't, are we? We're going to go enjoy our families. Take Jesus to your family and enjoy him together this afternoon. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Should we go on living just like I've always continued to live? That grace may abound? Don't be stupid, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3, don't you know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? That's why I don't live by the death of Christ. I was baptized into his death. Notice this, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, but like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. What's the end of the verse say? Even so should we walk in newness of life. That's what God's promised you. Come to me and I give you new life. Life of success. Life of abundance. Life of productivity. Life of satisfaction, not regret. Life of joy. Life of peace. Life of fulfillment. Life of abundance. You follow? Where do we find that? In the family. So where's the place where we get transformed? Where? In the family. What do we call that? It's what church is. We fit in here. We had an earthly family and a place where the earthly family met, not necessarily this type of a building and so on, but wherever the family gathered together, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. That's called church. Okay? So we meet in the family. Because by ourselves, we can't get resurrected. There's no arena to work it out in. There's no place where we have to come up against life circumstances that cause us to change. So God invites us into the family and says, take your place in the family, because the family has many parts, but only one purpose. And he invites us in. John 10, verse 16. And I'll be done. Aren't you glad? I'm getting close. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore the Father loves me, because I have resurrection authority, and I give to my family the decision to be resurrected daily, to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 says, don't continue to live the way that you used to live, yielding up all you do, all your bodily parts to sin, but as those that are alive from the dead, yield up your life to live a godly lifestyle. And that's resurrection power in us. That's how we do it. And so we abide in him. And he produces his fruit in our life, which transforms us. Now that's the outline. Okay? I got 27 weeks worth of preaching. Because this is the exciting part about this. God's not done with you yet. Not done with me. Hasn't got my roof on. I'm missing a few shingles. And some other things too. But see, what he does is he produces in me what Jesus looks like. When I spend time with him, I learn to love the way that he loves. And his love in me gives me joy and peace. And all of those things become the means by which he draws me to himself. And he does it in the family. That's why we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. It's where the family meets. And it's when the family meets together that you think, did you ever read the text from Genesis where it said it's not good that the man should be alone? You know why it's not good that the man should be alone? Because he'll always get in trouble if you leave him alone, right? It's true. So will you ladies, in case you didn't notice. See, we have each other to care for one another, to be accountable to one another, to be examples to one another, to correct one another, to love one another, to help one another grow up and develop the Father's character, to develop the Lord Jesus' character in us, which changes us and makes us into his family. Easter people, resurrection people, people who are transformed by God putting into our mind his way of life, implementing in our hearts to direct our will, drawing us close where we fall into his embrace, and he sets us free to accomplish his purpose. Shall we pray? Father, you called us to rescue us. You rescued us to restore us. You restored us to receive us. And in that reception, we have life abundantly. Charles Spurgeon, Lord, you remind us, said, a little faith will take my soul to heaven, but great faith, resurrection faith, brings heaven to my soul right now. Help us to become the Easter people you planned us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus is our King. Amen?
Amen.
He's our risen King.
Amen.
And what does the King wear on his head?
Crown.
Crown. Crown him with many crowns. Our King who triumphed over the grave, who rose victorious for those he came to save. Brandon, could we ask you to close with prayer today, please?
Father, we do thank you for calling us to be part of your family. For loving us, and dying on that cross, and rising again from the grave. As we heard this morning, this is our resurrection. This is our testimony. This is the song that we sing. That is what you have done for us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace go with you.